29th division of the book of Psalms. Amen. If you're glad for the Holy Ghost that's being poured out, say praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. If you've been receiving and been baptized in the Holy Ghost, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I believe it's for this generation, don't you? Amen. Praise God. Psalms chapter number 99. Appreciated the service Wednesday night. The Spirit of the Lord came by, and we just had a marvelous time here in the house of the Lord, and got to preaching a little bit about worship, and really got tied up on my introduction, and I didn't really get through with it, so I really don't have a Wednesday or a Sunday morning sermon for you right now. So we may have to get a little involved here this morning. I don't have one of those where you can go to sleep messages like most of my Sunday morning crowd. Sister Strider's taking some of Brother Strider's medicine this morning, so she's awake this morning. Maybe she could slide that bottle down the row for some others. Amen. What do you say we have church this morning?
Amen.
We are Pentecostal people, are we not?
Yes.
Wow. We got a long way to go before we get where we need to go. Amen. We are Pentecostal people, are we not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms chapter 99, verse number 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Verse number 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Verse number 9. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen. I want to talk to you again this morning about worship. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. Wednesday night, a couple of things that I said, and as we preface this message here this morning. Number one, worship is not dependent upon feelings. It is not dependent upon how we feel. It's about who he is. Worship should not be contrived or manipulated, that it can be spontaneous, that it can be anticipated. For the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He knew what would be going on in God's house. So it can be anticipated, it can be spontaneous, but it should not be contrived. We shouldn't have to have cheerleaders to try to make us feel our need to praise the Lord. Worship should not be neglected. We talked about the lepers that were cleansed, 10 lepers that were cleansed. One turns back to the Lord and with a loud voice begins to glorify God. And your Bible said that he was made whole. Or that the one leper that praised the Lord went somewhere that the 9 that did not praise him could not go. Praise will take you. Worship will take you places that you cannot get to any other way. And then we said, number 5, worship is not entertainment. Psalms 115 and 1 says, Unto thee, do I give you glory? Unto thy name should thou be worshiped. And so worship is our way to glorify God. We talked about Nadab and Abihu that loved the presence of God so much they offered strange fire and God consumed them, because God said those that approach me must approach me with a sanctified or a pure heart. That worship cannot be entertainment. It has to be from a deep resolve, a conviction of who we are. And out of the purity of our heart, we began to worship and magnify the Lord. So it is not entertainment. I read this quote yesterday that said, it was Tozier that said it, if worship bores you. Did I get your attention yet? If worship bores you, then you're simply not ready for heaven. Now, this was not a Pentecostal preacher. This is an old Baptist. If worship bores you, then you're simply not ready for heaven. For every glimpse of heaven reveals a word of worship from the redeemed man all the way to the cherubims. Worship doesn't bore me, friend. I hope it doesn't bore you either. Amen. So let me preach this morning about worship. Number one, worship is an act of the will. We worship because we want to worship. We worship because we become engaged. We don't sit there and wait on God to make us worship. We don't come in and sit and then God manipulates our arms or manipulates our lips. It has to go deeper than that. It has to be my will. It has to be my decision. It has to come from a steadfast desire in my heart and my mind that the name of the Lord, it is to be praised. That's why the psalmist said in 132:7, let us go. Let us go into his tabernacle. Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. It is our will. That's the psalmist said in Psalms chapter number 34 as he begins to talk to us about praise that is in a conglomeration of people. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. But right before that, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I don't want to be a hypocritical preacher to you today. And so before David said we're going to magnify him together, we've got to magnify him individually. And so David said, I'm going to praise the Lord at all times. And so in my heart and in my mind, there is a renewed desire to praise the Lord. Amen. To lift up and to magnify the name of the Lord. Because there's something that I cannot reconcile in our theology in 2008. It is that people that claim to be saved, claim to be sanctified, claim to be Holy Ghost filled, claim to be awaiting the imminent return of Jesus Christ, and they don't have an ounce of praise, joy, worship in their life. I cannot reconcile those two things together, and I choose not to, because when I read God's holy word, amen, it tells us from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord it is to be praised. Amen. I don't care if it's a thought that you think about him. I don't care whether it's a clap you clap unto him. I don't care whether it's praise from your lips. Here's what I know, that there is no joy in this world. There is no peace or happiness in this world. And so if the church doesn't have any joy, if the people of God are struggling to be happy, they're trying to find it in this world. We're too wrapped up and caught up with what's going on in this world. I'm going to tell you flat-footed right now, I really don't care who wins the election. I wish they'd get it over with and get the gas price down, because really my hope isn't in who is in the White House. I don't care who the governor is. Really, the mayor doesn't matter all that much. My Bible said that God puts up kings and he takes them down, and sometimes God gives us something maybe we really don't want, but we deserve. It might be the best thing for America, for our convictions to be challenged. It might be the best thing in the world for America to go through a tough economic times. It may be the best thing for us to have to carpool, have to worry about the money. Amen. We've had it so good for so long. Our churches are sitting empty. 6,000 churches close every month in America. America does not see the need of God. We've tried to just be tolerant and say, if you worship Buddha, it's okay. If you worship Muhammad, it's all right. You can worship the trees. We're humanists, we're pantheists, we're atheists. It's all one great big umbrella. But my God, help us today. Amen. We're a nation founded on the God of the Bible. We are a Judeo-Christian country. And anything that can get us back to that point, anything that causes America to fall down and say, God, we repent. God, we're sorry. God, we've turned away from you. Then God, help us today. Will he not strengthen us with it? Man, I'm not preaching on worship right now. That's the reason some of you are having trouble paying your tithes. You're worried about this world too much. Told you I didn't have a Sunday morning sermon. You! Hallelujah. Worship is an act of my will. There are times, amen, everybody in this house has come to church that didn't feel well. There's times that I preached and did not feel good. There are times I preach with headaches and backaches. There have been times, and I can give you a list of ailments. But friend, this is what I decided a long time ago, that worship is not about me. It is about him and in his word. Hear me now, hear me now. Those of you that might be more satisfied in a Baptist church, it's real quiet. Hear me now. God never stopped anybody from clapping their hands or dancing in the spirit or crying out with a loud voice. But he did reprimand them by saying, amen, the dead praise not the Lord. He did tell us we can get too quiet. I'm not worried about wildfire. There's always enough wet blankets to put it out. Wildfire does not scare me. No fire scares me to death. No fire keeps me awake at night. No fire, it stirs my heart. And I say, God, as the choir sang, let the latter rain be poured out. I will worship you. I will magnify you. I will glorify you. It is an act of your will. You've got to decide his name is worthy of praise. You know what I thought about yesterday as I was preparing to preach this? Don't think the angels had it any easier than you do. Think about all the angels in heaven. Think about it. 1/3 of the angels decide we're not going to worship him anymore. We're going to worship somebody else. We're going to worship Lucifer. Think about it now. Think about it. Think about it. They've never been redeemed from sin. They've never known wickedness. All they've known is the glory of that celestial city. All they've known is an untiring praise and ceaseless adoration for God. But 1/3 of the angels say, we're going to follow Lucifer. We're going to worship somebody else. That number could have been 50%. It could have been 75%. But 2/3 of those angels that stayed in heaven said, we're going to continue to worship the true and the living God. Amen. We're making a decision. Amen. We're making a choice of our will. There's always going to be people that don't want to worship God and don't want to live right. But friend, they don't have any bearing on my life. Amen. I've got my own will. And today I say, as a songwriter said, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. Amen. Holiness isn't hard. Holiness isn't legalism. Amen. No, friend, no. I've been in the depths of sin. I know the darkness of the world. But what I feel right now, it's not put on. It's not made up. It's not worked up. It's not phony baloney. It's not easy believism. But when I get up in the morning, his spirit will be right there. When I go to bed Tuesday, his spirit will be right there. It's the true, genuine spirit of God. Number 2, worship is an indicator
of your spirituality. Jesus in Luke 6 and 12 went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night. If Jesus had to worship the Father all night long, how much more you and I? Come on, let's be honest. Anybody real in this place today? How many of you struggle with issues? How many of you struggle with doubt and despair? How many of you struggle with depression or worldliness? How many of you struggle with things in your life? If the Son of God had to pray all night, how can me and you get it done in 90 seconds or 5 minutes? Which takes me to point number 3, and here's why we don't worship. Worship is expensive. Worship is an expense. It's an expense of your energy. You remember when the king in 2 Samuel 24 offered David the threshing floor? Said, David, it's yours. You can have it. David said, how can I offer things unto the Lord from a threshing floor that I did not purchase? I will buy it from thee, lest I offer offerings that cost me nothing. Nothing. 2 Samuel chapter 24. These things did Uriah as a king, give unto the king. And Uriah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. The king said unto him, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Praise is expensive. Matter of fact, Paul told the Hebrews, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips. Well, I'm just sitting here thinking about God. Well, that's great. But every now and then he wants the fruit of our lips. You know why? Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I've yet to find somebody who thinks about God that much that doesn't want to vocalize it. The fruit of our lips, what you really care about, you'll talk about. How many of you grandparents talk about your grandbabies a lot? Oh, come on, come on, come on. You can't even get in church sometimes because of them. How many of you like to talk about your money? Or the lack thereof? How many have been talking about the gas prices lately? Why? Ain't nobody in this house wants to pay $4 for a gallon of gas. We got 3 kids, you know it, and so milk. How many talking about the price of milk? Water don't work on cereal. We tried it. What's close to our heart, we talk about. So Paul said, when you really get this thing down in your heart, when you really saw, when God, when I realize what he has done for me. Oh, I wish I could preach to you today what I feel. Amen. When I realize this boy right here could be in hell right now. Oh, if I'd be alive on this earth, I wouldn't have any hope. I wouldn't have any joy. I'd be going to hell like a bullet. But here I stand today, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Here I stand today, waiting for the soon coming King of Glory. Oh, friend, it gets in my feet, and I want to shout it out. It gets in my hands, and I want to clap it out. It gets in my heart, and I want to shout it out. He's worthy. He's worthy. Give him praise. Give him glory. It's going to cost you something, but give him the sacrifice of praise. Oh, my God, my God, my God. You remember what Tozer said, you're not ready for heaven if praise bores you. Isaiah 6:3, the seraphims, what are they crying? Revelation 4:8, the four beasts with six wings and full of eyes within saying. Say it like you mean it. It's no longer about the angels. It's not about the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, and the streets of gold. It's not about all of that. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. It's not talking about anything else except about Him. Can you look at Him today and not want to praise Him? Number five, worship is your personal expression. The psalmist said in chapter 9, verse number 1, I praise you. Somebody say, I. I praise you. I praise you with my whole heart. The psalmist said in 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise is your personal. Now we're going to tighten it right down here, because we always got 30, 40. We got a bunch of people that'll praise the Lord. But I'm asking if every one of us came in this building today with the express purpose to lift up His name, to praise Him. Did you? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. Well, let's let the choir do it. What about you? Are you part of the church? Are you part of the blood washed? Worship is your personal expression. So if I don't see your personal expression, does it not lead us to believe that that relationship may have ended? Because it doesn't matter if it's a soft clap. It doesn't. And my wife knows I can clap loud. It doesn't matter if some of you golden apples just tap your canes on the floor. It doesn't matter if you just hold up your Bible to God. It matters not to me if I see but a little tear coming down your cheek. Every one of us, though, in some fashion or way, amen, ought to vocalize. I come to praise Him. I come to worship Him. I come to honor Him. He's been too good to me. He's been too good to me. I'm going to lift Him up. I exalt You, Lord. I adore You, Lord. I worship You, God. I exalt You, Lord. Because here's what I know. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. Here's what praise does. Praise does not bring Him down to where we are at. Oh no. There have been times I felt lower than a snake's belly when I started praying. I felt low. I felt discouraged. I felt like quitting. I didn't know if I ever wanted to preach again. I didn't know if I ever wanted to do it again. Was I going to backslide? No. But I was weary and well doing. But when I began to praise Him, He didn't come down to where I was at, but He reached down to pick me up, and He set me where He was at. Friend, I'm going to hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. You can't stay depressed and worship at the same time. You can't stay worried and worship at the same time. You can't stay perplexed and worship at the same time. Oh no. He's going to lift you up. He's going to calm your fears. He's going to touch your mind. He's going to bless your heart. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, you're just trying to get us to shout. See, that's where you're wrong. Shouting is about me and you feeling better. I'm talking about worship. I'm talking about giving him his rightful place. I'm talking about making him first in my life. I can worship him with my time. I can worship him with my offerings. I can worship him with my energy and my praise. He is first in my life. Is he first in your life? Finally, worship is a public announcement. I love some of the Old Testament worship. In Ezra 3 and 11, the Bible said they sang together by course. By course means kind of, they divided in groups and did it repetitively. And here's what they said. One group would say, he is good. Then the next group would say, his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. It doesn't say how many choruses they sang, but the group would say, he is good. The next group would say, his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. And they began to sing that back and forth. They began to have that interaction going back. Amen. Can you hear that in your mind today? He is good. His mercy endures forever. He is good. His mercy endures forever. They began to praise him. And notice what the Bible says happened. At the end of that, all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, today, amen, why don't we get him up? Amen, why don't we worship him? Maybe you want to be in the group that says, amen, he is good. He is good. He is good. Maybe you want to be in the group that says, amen, his mercy endures forever. It matters not, except there's a deep praise in my heart. I've got to get him up. I've got to praise him. I've got to worship. I want to magnify and glorify the name of the Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet today and worship him? Amen. Let's give him honor. Amen. Let's give him glory. Let's give him praise. Magnify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I was praying for the service last night, here's what I really felt the Lord lay on my heart. I was focusing on the wrong sanctuary. I was asking God, preach Wednesday night, about the lack of praise in this day and hour. The lack of joy, the lack of worship. Seemed like everybody's stressed out, strung out. I'm focusing on the wrong sanctuary. I'm focusing on the wrong temple. There will never be worship in here like there needs to be. Until first there is worship in this temple like there needs to be. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this temple is filled with praise, if I can keep worry and stress, despair and worldliness out of this temple of the Holy Ghost, then when I come into God's house, I don't need a cheerleader. I don't need an orchestra. I don't even need a preacher to tell me how to praise the Lord. There is a residing worship. There is a residing praise. I've got to magnify Him. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. If you'll be honest with me right now, your heart is empty of praise. If you'll be flat out honest with me, if you'll be honest to yourself, your heart is empty of praise. Sometimes we come into the house of the Lord and we try to get the choir singing us and we try to say, oh, it's time for camp meeting. It's wonderful. It's great. It's all around us, but it's not in us. It's all around us, but it's not in us. If you're tired of it being all around you, you're ready for it to be in you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Told you I didn't have a Sunday morning service, so I don't have a Sunday morning altar call. But if you're ready to turn your heart into the temple of the Holy Ghost, would you lift your hands all over this building, begin to worship the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Come on and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let everything that
give Him praise.
Breath, praise the Lord.
Give Him praise and glory.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let everything
that
Lord, I worship.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everything is gonna change,
yes,
for our God in high.